Thank you so much for being here this morning. You decided that you wanted to be with a group of God's people, and we're grateful for that. We know that's a desire of all Christians on the first day of the week, that God indeed did set aside as a time to remember His Son. And today we certainly want to do that. Cody led 808, which is Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide, and Roger had mentioned that my sermon title is Preaching Till Midnight, so don't take that. That's not true. You don't have to worry. You won't be here till eventide. Hopefully, you'll be able to go and do the things that you plan to do today, and we certainly appreciate the fact that you've taken time out to be with us. When we talk about our life, it is a life of choices, and someone suggested that I talk about this subject matter. I try to, if someone ask for a certain title or a certain thing, I try to do that as soon as I can. I've been talking about conduct in the house of God and how we as Christians are a part of God's family 24/7. So with that certainly comes a life, and a life that says, I've got to make choices all the time. This week, every one of you, including me, are going to make choices over and over and over and over again. And as we make those choices, we are going to have to think seriously about how to make those choices. All people who are of any age and intelligence to do so make choices every day. Sometimes we don't even realize we've made a specific choice. We just do it. We can be driving down the road, and we've been down that road several times, and we don't even think about where we're turning or what we're doing. We just do that because that's something we've learned to do. It can be based on a habit. And there may not even be a conscious effort on our part. And you can think about your life this morning, and you know that's true. A lot of your life is not from the fact that you're making a choice at that moment consciously, but you're just doing things. But choices have consequences. Sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're bad, and we need to think about that. When those choices aren't made wisely, I can guarantee you they'll always be bad. When we get in a hurry sometimes, we don't think things through, and what happens to us, we don't make the right choices. There are some things I did not choose. Although people might argue about this nowadays, there are some things I didn't choose. I didn't choose my parents. God made all that choice. He made it for me. He didn't even give me a choice in it. And one day, when I finally realized who I was, I realized I had these two people around me, in my case, and there they were, and they were my parents. I didn't get to pick my gender. God did that as well. He chose who I was, and He chose the fact that I was going to be a male. Some people aren't satisfied with that, and they're not happy with that nowadays, but that's the way it is. God makes those choices. He chose my substance, that is, how I would develop and how I would look and how I would be. And He chose the color of my hair, which has changed. He chose my eye color. He chose everything about me. And it's one of those things where finally one day you wake up and you look in the mirror and you say, God made me the way I am, and I need to be satisfied with that. I'm going to do the best I can with it. He chose my abilities. Now, I can improve on those. And I can't tell you how that all works, but I know that He gave me certain innate abilities, and He did you too, and they're not the same. We can look around and we know that certain people have ways of doing things that are totally different from other people, and they can react in ways that other people can't. He also gave me my ability to reason things out, my specific way of reasoning them out. Now, I've had to work on that, and He gave me the ability to do that, and that's amazing as well. He gave me my origin of birth. I did not choose, while I was being formed, to say, listen, I really don't want to be born in the United States of America. Now, I'm happy that I was born here, but I didn't get a choice in that. This is where I was born. This is the reason. In the 139th Psalm, He said, for You formed my inward part. This is from David. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in Your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. And that doesn't sound to me like, contrary to what a lot of people say, that I have a lot of choice in this. Now, I can end my life. I realize that. And God won't prevent me from doing that. But for the most part, those days are fashioned for me, and that's what He has said He's already done. And I've taught on this subject before from the 139th Psalm. I'm not going to go into it in detail today, but it is as a knitter works, and He has worked inside my mother's womb and made me. And that's a powerful statement. And when we think about that, I didn't have much choice in that. I didn't get to declare to God, why have you made me like this, as He would say in the book of Romans? Why am I formed like this? Why did you do this, God? He did it because, I can tell you right now, He loved me. He wanted me to come into this world, and there was reason for me to be here. Now, there's some other things I did not choose. See, my parents decided how to rear or raise me. I didn't have much choice in that when I was younger, and they determined. And they determined whether I was going to assemble with the saints or not. They had determined whether I was going to get up and brush my teeth. They determined when I was getting up. They determined when I was going to take a bath. They determined what I was going to wear. As time went on, there was less and less of that, but they determined those things. They decided how to do that. They decided whether to instruct me about God or not. Parents have that right, if you will, whether they do it correctly or not. They decided what school or schools I would attend. They didn't ask me when I was 5 years, in my case 6 years old, whether I wanted to attend a certain school or not. They told me, get up out of bed, get dressed, and we're taking you to school. That's the way it worked, and that's what I did. They told me how to dress. It was their choice. They didn't allow me that opportunity to decide how I wanted to for a long time. They decided what I would eat. When I went to the table, that's the food we had. You eat or you don't eat. They had that control over me. As time went on, I lost a little bit of that and was able to make my own decisions, but they truly believed this scripture. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they believed that the nurture and admonition of the Lord is more than just bringing someone to an assembly. They believed it was more than just teaching God's Word. It was to teach the full message from God. To tell me how to live in this life, how to use the things that I had. And they believed in that totally, and that's what they did. But then there came a time when there were things I chose. And I had to make some decisions on these things. I got to decide how to use my abilities. Now, it didn't matter where they were secular as we would look at abilities. It didn't matter if they were things that I could do in this life. And maybe I had some abilities that other people didn't have growing up. Maybe I could run faster than some people. Maybe I could dunk a basketball. No, I couldn't. Maybe there's some other things I could do that other people couldn't do. But there were things that other people could do that I couldn't do when it came to that. I didn't look at that and think, wow, I was left out. I determined, because I was taught by my parents and learned from God, to use what I had to the best of my ability. You're going to make some decisions this week. Whether an adult or someone who is young, you're going to make decisions. You're going to make decisions on whether you're going to use the abilities you have this week to help other people. It doesn't matter whether you're going to a camp or whether you're just living your life. Every day we make decisions, and I would argue that the most important decisions we make are the ones that pertain to our abilities that God has given us in a spiritual way. Recently, the women got together in this congregation and they talked about this among themselves. And they talked about what they believe were abilities that God had given them and how to use those abilities. And we need to do that as well. It's good when our parents sit us down and they say, you have this special ability. You need to use it. So in Romans 12, 3 through 8, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you. That means no one is left out in this. Not to think of himself or herself more highly than he or she ought to think, but to think soberly. He's saying this is a very serious issue. If you do not understand where you've got your abilities, and you do not understand how to use those abilities by looking into His Word, and you will not use those abilities, it's a very serious matter in God's sight. Because as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members who do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And the beauty of this is, in talking about this household we're in, this family we're in, it makes all of us necessary, because none of us have all of this 100%. So what do we need from others? We need them to use the abilities they have so as a family we can function a family of God. Having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, he said, let us use them. We should never, ever hide our abilities. When it comes down to it, he said, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And who would have ever thought that mercy is a gift and an ability? But it comes from God. I got to decide how much earthly education I was going to get. In Acts 22:3, although this went beyond that and included Paul learning about the Mosaic Law, he was well trained. He would talk about that in many places. He knew a lot. He had been well trained by Gamaliel, and he said that he had been brought up at his feet in Acts 22:3. He had been taught according to the strictness of our Father's law and was zealous toward God as you all are today. You get a choice in life. You can even choose at my age to go back to school. You can do whatever you choose to do. We can choose to use it or not use it. The important thing here is, as wonderful a man as Paul was, and as wonderful a man as Gamaliel was, Paul did not understand what he should have understood. There's a lot of times when we are taught things, even by very good people, but those good people aren't always right. We make a choice. Are we going to follow those good people, or are we going to follow God? I don't care what I teach you. Cody's shaking his head in the back. We need to be very careful. And Cody knows he has to check up on Abe Martin every time I get up here and preach. It's very important because am I teaching what's right? It doesn't matter whether it's a secular education or a so-called religious education. We better make sure it's God's education that we're receiving and using in our life. And I had to decide that. See, after God brought me into this world, and after my parents kicked me out, then I had to make some choices. Am I going to do what God says? Am I going to check up on what's being taught? I got to decide whether to marry or not. No one made me do it. No one said you have to. I decided it on my own. This is an important decision to make because it says in 1 Corinthians 7:1-9, the reason this is so important is because all of us are born with desires. And one of those desires happens to be sexual relations with another. But that's not all that marriage is about. But the truth is, in 1 Corinthians 7, he discusses this a lot. And he says, we need to be very careful. Each man needs to have his own woman. Each woman needs to have her own man. We live in a society where this is not true anymore and where anything goes. And it isn't just men and women anymore. It's men with men and women with women. All of this is contrary to God's will. Everything outside of marriage is fornication. It does not matter what type of sexual relations it is. It is wrong. So we need a choice in this. We've got to decide if I don't intend to marry, then I need to make sure that I live my life in purity. That's a choice you have to make. Paul said he could do that. Paul said he had no problem with it. But he said, I know most aren't like me. Most aren't. Most people want a companion. And if we're going to do it the way God wants, a man is going to marry a woman, and they will enjoy what God has planned for them inside that marriage. But he said, you've got a choice. Marry or don't marry. I got to decide who my spouse would be. Now, when it came down to this, though, from 1 Corinthians 9:5, Paul said this, do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? He's trying to make a point here. He's saying, I had a right. I could have married, but I chose not to. Now, I will say this. A lot of the young women that I wanted to date didn't want to date me, and so they turned me down flat. It just happens. But as life went along, I was thankful. You'll be thankful too when you look back and realize the one that you just adored wasn't the one for you. That God's providence enters into some of this, and if you'll continue to pray about getting a worthy spouse, it'll be left up to God. you'll continue to look until you find someone that is suited for you. What you will not find is someone that is perfect for you. What you will find is another person just like you that has their problems, that has their own ideas, that has their own abilities, that has all of this working for them. And so when you make that choice, you have to work together inside that marriage. So I'm going to make a recommendation to you. As you're planning on finding that spouse, and even when you find the one that you think is the one, talk to someone that you trust. Look at their marriage. Ask them about it. And what you'll find out about marriage will sometimes shock people, because we see all of these movies and isn't it eternal bliss? They lived happily ever after. Well, I would argue that Christians will live happily ever after if they continue to follow God, but the problem is we're both human. And so there are things that we need to think about along that line. I got to decide how to provide for my family. And what I found was that if anyone does not provide for his own, he's denied the faith and worse than an infidel. We live in a society where people do not want to do this anymore, where they will not provide for their families, where they will not take care of them, expect someone else to do it. It won't work. But you know what? I can be lazy and not take care of my family. I can decide that, but God will not be happy with me. I got to decide that if I believed in God, I got to decide if I believed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No one made that choice for me. In John 20:31, he says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." But I made a choice in that, because faith is a hard work. I had to mentally think about God coming down as man. And that's hard, because that's not something we can think of. All we've ever seen is other human beings, and that's all we understand. So I had to wrap that around my brain and think about it a lot. Did I really believe that? Did I believe it enough I would do something about it? Well, some people don't. In 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, "And for this reason God will send them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie and be condemned, who do not believe the truth, but add pleasure in unrighteousness." They will not believe the truth about God. They will look at what the world has to say and they will say, "Well, that makes more sense to me." So, who do I obey or disobey? I have choices. Well, as a young person, I had a choice. Do I obey my parents? Well, I could look into God's Word, and my parents had me repeat this several times. I don't know if your parents have or not. But I had to repeat Ephesians 6:1 many, many times. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I had to repeat that frequently and often because they wanted me to understand the reason for obeying them was because of God. But it goes beyond that. Sometimes we think, well, they're only talking to I reach 10 years old and then after that I don't have to obey my parents. That's not true. Not true at all. I had to make a choice about whether I was going to obey earthly authorities or not. I had to make a choice about whether I was going to obey God. All those choices I made. But with every decision I made, there came some responsibility and some consequences. Throughout my life, I had to pay for some dumb mistakes that I made. I would encourage every one of you, limit those to the best of your ability. Think about your life. Think about your choices. Don't make bad ones. When it comes to using these things, take responsibility for them. In Galatians 6, a passage I'm certain everyone's familiar with, and I'm certain wherever you assemble, it's used frequently. But in Galatians 6, 7 through 9, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." This week, think about that. We know the consequences when we do things that are wrong. My choices impact my life and those around me. Think about a David. A David who made a bad choice. A good man, a man after God's own heart. And think about this for a moment. As he made his choices, it not only impacted him in his life, even to the losing of a son, but he lost more than one son. He lost a baby. He lost his family. as a whole. That's some hard consequences, and even kicked out of his own kingdom for a while. But think about a Daniel, on the other hand, one who looked at life, knew his choices. He was taken into captivity. I'm sure he didn't particularly care about that. But look how he used it. And look how he influenced others, even the king of a great nation, and how much he influenced that man. And then when the Persians took over, other kings, he influenced their lives. That's powerful to each and every one of us because he made good choices. He stood for what he believed in. Or an Esther, who made the right decisions. Or a Paul, who started out making bad ones. Was very sorry later that he made those bad decisions. And no telling how many times he had thought about his life. Because we read about it. But he put them behind him and he moved forward. Because he understood that all he could do from that point forward was do the best he could to live as he should. But I want to close it with this. Like before my birth, I'm going to reach another time in life, and you are too. And actually, that's when life ends. When life's all over for me here, I'm not going to really get to make a choice. In 2 Corinthians 5, I'm not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, now, God, here's where I want to go. I've already made up my mind, and so you've got to let me go there. It's not going to work that way. You see, at either end of my life, at my beginning and at my end, God's going to make the choice. Jesus Christ is going to be the judge, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And that's why our choices are critical. That's why it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, those choices can determine where you will be eternally. It will be determined on the basis of how you've used your life here. Heaven or hell, which one will you choose? Joshua said it this way, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should be our determination. That should be our choice always. That should be it in all the things I talked about. If we will put God first, if we will understand that we need to turn to Him, and if we look to Him, then things will be fine. The question is, what's the choice you're going to make today? If you're not a Christian, there's not a better day. As Joshua said, choose this day to serve Him. If you are a Christian, choose to serve God today. Live your life in a way that others can look at and know that you're one of God's children. We're going to stand and sing a song. If you have any needs, we certainly would be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?